There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my
I wish to say that our government is a two-faced hypocrite.
Thank you, Doral, and we'll get started with this edition of Midday Mobile, live local talk over the next couple of hours. Glad you're here. Hey, I'm Sean. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Lots to talk about today, and in hour number two, we'll talk some tolls as the a couple events happened this morning. You had the town hall meeting for Congressman Bradley Byrne, had folks from the Block the Mobile Bayway Toll group from State Auditor Jim Ziegler to others show up down there today to be at the town hall meeting, then held a news conference afterwards about an event coming up on Thursday. We'll talk about that in hour number two of the show. Also on the way, one last thing on the bridge, just a side note. I know that it's not like using analog, but if there's a way to wear out a digital file, you know, I know it's binary, it's bit, you know, zeros and ones binary, but Dalton, they're just about to wear out the animation that shows the cars approaching eastbound, the digital, you've seen it, right, in every news story, because there's obviously not a bridge to show, but they have the animation that shows the cars going down the road, heading towards the bridge there. If we could clock how many minutes that has been shown on local TV. They just go to it. This animation of what it might look like. They're gonna break the file is what's gonna happen. Also on the show today, some changes here on immigration. This is interesting, and I think it'll bring up a lot of conversation. As you can come, but if you're coming to get money from the United States of America, maybe they shouldn't come. Here's Ken Cuccinelli from earlier today.
A poor person can be prepared to be self-sufficient. Many have been through the history of this country. So let's not look at that as the be-all and end-all. It's not the deciding factor, which is why we continue to use the totality of circumstances test.
All right. So this long-anticipated rule pushed by Stephen Miller takes effect, of course, leading aide on immigration for the president, used to be chief of staff for then-Senator Sessions, takes effect October 15th and would reject applicants for temporary or permanent visas for failing to meet income standards. We'll talk about that as well coming up in the show. Okay, but first, though, this one, as the schools are back, right? I think later this week, Baldwin County Public Schools go back, Mobile County Public Schools are back. I'd say by next week. One of my children goes back this week. One goes back the beginning of next week. Let's just say by next week, almost all schools back in session in Mobile and Baldwin counties, right? So they're back in. Well, according to a survey conducted by the University of South Alabama last year, the vast majority of Alabama voters, 85%, say they want longer summers. They want the children out of school longer. That the opposite, you hear the trend of going around. We have, of course, one school trying it out here in town. But the idea of year-round school seems to be the hip thing. 85% of people that were surveyed here, I think they surveyed 600 and some odd folks in Alabama, said they want longer summers. Now, there's three states, and this is quoted in AL.com story today, three states, Virginia, Minnesota, and Michigan, restrict school dates for a start no earlier than Labor Day. In those states, they cannot start before Labor Day, and they I think they have to be out by Memorial Day. And so the survey shows that Alabama folks, at least 85% in the survey, wanted the school year to start the same way, after Labor Day, so in September, and end by Memorial Day. Now, the polling here in the story was done by the Alabama Association of Camps. So, I got to point out that you have to listen, you could agree with it, but you have to know who sponsored the poll. The Alabama Association of Camps. Probably be better for them to have longer summers out there, right? But this this polling is being used by State Representative Steve Hurst out of Talladega. He is proposing that the Alabama system move to exactly that. Move to a system like Virginia, Minnesota, and Michigan, and restrict the school start date to no earlier than Labor Day and have the kids out by Memorial Day. So what do you think? We'll talk to the representative when we come back from the break and get his take on this. He proposes a change here in Alabama, as Alabama's gone to, you know, the number of instructional hours, I think. It used to be days. Now they've moved to the number of instructional hours, and schools are going back to school early. I remember when I was young that public schools in Mobile County, I don't think, went back till September. And now Mobile County, they were in school last week. Okay, Representative Hurst joins us next. We'll talk with him about it. Then, of course, I want to hear from you. And my friend Jeff Poor has been chiming in on this on Twitter as well. We'll try to get him on the show later this hour. It's Mobile. It's Midday Mobile. It's FM Talk 106.5. It's a Monday. Glad to have you along.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Text line's open at 343-0106. As I mentioned before we went to the news break here, about school, I mean, school's been in since last week in Mobile County. Baldwin County schools, y'all are going back this week. And by next week, private schools, everybody's back in school by next week. What if it was like it used to be, and not until, I remember when I was a kid, Mobile County Public Schools wouldn't go back until September, and that's something that State Rep out of Talladega, Steve Hurst, is talking about, and that's why he's joining us right now. Thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you.
So describe to us, really, what is the proposal here that you want to make summer longer, right?
Yes, sir, that's what we want. We want to have longer summers for various reasons, and some is for the kids to have an opportunity to have more time, to have opportunities for jobs, have opportunities for camps, have opportunities to go with their parents on trips, and et cetera, and just have a break away. But what our ultimate goal is, what we want to do is, the purpose of this legislation when it comes, and we're going to be starting to meet pretty soon, I think, with a group of people. We want to sit down and invite people to the table. We want the educators to come. We want the superintendents to come. We want the school board to come. We want different business leaders to come. We want tourism people to come and just sit down and say, look, you know, we've got a tremendous tourism trade in the state of Alabama. We're losing just a tremendous amount of dollars. So let's sit down and try to figure out a way we can get the same instructional time, the 180 days that's required by law, sit down and figure out how to do this, still try to make it work to where that these kids can have summers jobs, but not only that, have the opportunity to even get into workforce development in the summers. You know, I guess something that concerns me, and ever since I've been in Montgomery now for 20 years, what I've heard is, let's prepare everybody for college, and that's great. You know, it'd be wonderful if everybody could go to college. But statistics show that only 40% will go to college and 60% don't. If that be the case, then what we'd like to try to do is try to figure out a way that we can still educate, provide proper education, good education, have some opportunity times for people to have some opportunity to work, have job trainings, have workforce development. Some businesses are day-to-day are even trying to offer summer programs to try to teach people trades. And they're willing to put them to work once they come out of school. But the way it is now, we're just kind of hampered with that opportunity. But that's just some of the thing. And then you look at the cost factor. You take the school buses in the summer. You have to have the air conditioning. You have the air conditioning in the buildings. This week's going to be, what, 102, 104 degrees?
Oh, yeah.
So we have all that to contend with, too. And surely, we can get enough minds together to sit down and say, okay, let's collectively come with something that will be doable, be workable, can get her kids educated, get an opportunity for job trainings, give them an opportunity to go to college, increase our tourism trade, have more family time, family vacations, to where that they can spend more time with their families. Just, there's a lot of pluses here. And I would like to think that we've got enough minds that could come together to say that let's come with something that, that would work and still get that 180 days instructional time in.
Yeah, how does that work? That's one of my questions. Just joining us, talking to Representative Steve Hurst, talking about making summer longer here. So if we are still under the template of 180 days, how do you make that? I mean, what's your plan there during the year? Do they stay in longer?
You could change that. You have different breaks through the year now. You could minimize those breaks to some degree. You could change some of the breaks around. At the same time, you know, of course, I don't think any school really wants to do this. But if, for an example, you could lengthen the school day 30 minutes, you could get down to 166 days, you know, to get the school hours, get the school hours in. You got to have 180 hours. So it's just, you know, there's a way to do it. But we just all need to come positive and not everybody try to pull a different direction and say, well, I don't like it because I want this. Let's just say, well, let's try to do something that's going to be good for education and good for business at the same time.
And so that hour part is important because a lot of people think, well, it's a required number of days, but it's not. It's a required number of hours, right?
Hours, yes, sir. I apologize. Yes, sir.
No, you said it correctly. I just want to know, because a lot of people, you know, who've not been looking at this just assume it's days, but it's actually hours. So
actually hours, yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, the weird thing.
180 instructional hours is what it's got to be.
Okay, so like you said, 30 minutes increase the length of the day. I don't think you're going to get pushback from parents. I think they would be there. Maybe extracurricular, what time football practice starts or something like that. But, I mean, I don't think parents are going to push back on that. To be frank with you, I know this sounds mean-spirited or something, but the later in the day they can get the kids, probably the better for their work schedule.
Well, that's true. But we have the University of Southern Alabama is a polling group, not a poll. And that polling group has said 85% of the Alabama voters want to return to Memorial Day to Labor Day summers. And it goes on down to say, after considering these factors, support of the Memorial Day to Labor Day summers increased 85%, while opposition decreased 11% in all areas of the state. Then it says North Alabama voters showed support by a margin of 83-12%. South Alabama voters showed 88%-7%, and then in Madison County, where education leaders have vocal opponents in the past for the longer school summers, now they're saying 86% of the voters support Memorial Day to Labor Day, or 12% oppose it. So it's something that the voters are for, as far as the poll shows. But there again, it goes back to what we said earlier. We've got to make sure that the kids get the education, but we've also got to figure out a way to prepare them for jobs once they leave school.
Yeah, and somewhere in that, I don't have it right in front of me, but it's somewhere in that AL.com story that is talking about this from Tricia Crane. I think to paraphrase you, you basically asked a question that I think is a good one, that as we've lengthened the number of days the kids have gone to school, are we getting better return on education? And a lot of people would probably agree and say no.
We're not. If you go back to 1992, I think it is, today, the instructional time and instructional hours or instructional time, we're number 13th in the nation. But when you go to reading from the year from there today, we're number 46th in reading. And when you go to math, we're number 50th in math. So we're not very high.
No. Now somebody's going to argue, Representative Hurst, and say that should be more reason to have them in school longer because they're not doing good. But you're pointing out that, hey, we have lengthened the day and we have not, or lengthened the school season and have not made a bigger impact on this.
Yes. When you're required to do the 180 instructional hours, that's what you're required. You know, you don't have to do it all at one time. You can kind of change it out some, but let's don't change it to the point that we're crippling the opportunities for job trainings out there in the summer and for these businesses to be able to have kids that wants to work to where they can get a job when they leave and they don't go to college. If 40% goes to college and 60% don't, I mean, What happens to that 60% if they never get an opportunity to work, to learn a job, work ethics, discipline, et cetera, so and so? I try to look at the pluses to it. But at the same time, that's why we want to sit down, because that way people are going to also say, well, this is a negative. So let's try to figure out to minimize the negatives and try to do something better than what's been happening so far and improve our grade averages and our job opportunities and improve our tourism opportunities.
Yeah, I wonder, do you think there are more job opportunities with do you think more people would get the initial job if they knew that the employer knew they could work a longer summer?
Yes, sir, I think they would, for a couple of reasons. One, I think the parents would encourage that, and you have a lot of young men and women that would like the opportunity to work and learn something in the summer, more especially if they know that they're not going to go on to college, if they know they have that opportunity to go work somewhere. And learn a trade of some nature. You have a lot of folks that just don't want to work, but you have a lot of people that do want to work. So, you know, we had to try to provide for those. That's where we're coming from. That's what we want. I had a gentleman call me a little while ago from another station, wanted to badger me about it, but I just, but the bottom line is we're trying to help with this. We don't want to hurt. We want to help.
Talking about the... Yeah, you also mentioned the tourism angle, and I think somewhere in my foggy memory there was some surveying done on that or something. Do you have that every day that is increased a summer vacation means X number of dollars for Alabama tourism or something like that?
I don't have that in front of me, no, sir. I did have that, but I didn't bring the file with me
I remember it too. There was maybe a couple of years ago this was done. There are some concrete numbers on that, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct. They are. They certainly are. I think it's at least worth the opportunity to get everybody to the table to see what we can do. And if we could manage to do something of this nature, then it's been a plus all the way around for everybody. It's been a plus for education. It's been a plus for kids. It's been a plus for tourism. It's a plus for parents to have more time with their children. You know, today the world's so busy now, social time is not that prevalent with families anymore. But the more we could do something like this, I think the better off we'd be. That's only my thoughts, but, you know, that's why I want to get people to the table where we can sit down and talk about it, share thoughts and pool ideas, and let the majority come out with something that they think might be doable.
And how does that process of discussing this go? You're talking about bringing people to the table. Is this something you're going to do in Montgomery once session happens, or is this going to be something separate, Representative Hurst? How does it work?
I expect what we want to do is we want to go ahead and pretty quick go ahead and start trying to sit down and invite different groups to come to Montgomery, sit down and meet with us, or different places in the state, to say, this is what our thoughts are. Give us your thoughts. You know, do you have a positive idea? Tell me why this won't work. Things along this line of whether we can all come to something no person in the room is the smartest person in the room. But if we can sit down, you know, like yourself, we could have people from the media, we could have people from education, we could have people from workforce development, we could have people from the school board, we could have superintendents, we could have elected officials, we could have business people. Just say, look, let's just get started. And once we get started, then we want to try to share that information with the public to get the feedback from the public, and then develop a piece of legislation off that material we put together. Maybe I should put it that way.
Yeah, I also looked at, I guess this would be a way to see how other states do it. In the story, they were talking about three states that are already kind of under this. I think Virginia was one of them. I had it on my list here. Virginia, Minnesota, and Michigan restrict school start dates no earlier than Labor Day.
Yes, sir. There's several states. Matter of fact, I was looking at that just briefly a while ago. Several states that don't do it before Labor Day. Michigan, Minnesota,
Virginia.
Virginia, and you got Virginia, Wisconsin. Wisconsin starts no earlier than 9/1. And then you got District of Missouri 10 days prior to September. And it appears from all everything we've picked up at reading, the information that we've been provided, that more states are beginning to look at that and see that, that's something that they feel like would be doable and would be better for the state. And but see, even if you think about this and you say, let's think about it and let's try to do it, when you do the poll of the voters, if they say 85% of them agree with it, even without having a meeting, without trying to have the groups to put together, you know, you've already got something you can go with from the very beginning.
You're right. You're right. Representative Hirsch, we sure appreciate your time. We're up against the hard break, but keep us up to date on this as it moves forward.
I sure will. You call me anytime. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Representative Steve Hirsch joining us. So what do y'all think? School starting no earlier than Labor Day, over by Memorial Day. We'll talk about this when we get back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, run to the phones quickly here, and Jeff Poor is going to join us in a second. If you follow him on Twitter, he's been talking about this all morning long. Extend the summer, more summer. Start school no earlier than Labor Day, end by Memorial Day. Grab a couple quick calls. William's been holding on in Washington County. Hey, William.
Hey, Sean.
So what'd you think about this?
It's real simple. I grew up in northern Michigan through the ninth grade, then I moved south for 10 through 12th grade. It was quite a culture shock when you had to start school in the dad-blame middle of summer, and they're running air conditioners at school. And going from seven classes a day to six, that was a heck of a shock, too. I'm like, dang, I can sleep through this and make an A or B. And you wonder why the kids are not prepared? It's like, get them enough hours in the day so that you don't have to run them clear this. And my goodness, how much money would we save on the air conditioning bill at the school?
Yeah, that's something that Representative and I talked about off the air. I said, you know, if you're looking to make your case from a fiscal perspective, you may want to pull those numbers, you know, and bring that to the table.
And the thing is, how many kids, you know, I mean, it's not unusual for during football practice have kids fall out due to heat stroke.
Well, practice wasn't over for us till at least one of us hyperventilated or fell over from heat stroke, but those were days gone by. Oh, man, August 1st practice start. I remember those. They're burned. I mean, literally burned into my memory. Thank you, William, for the call. Let me grab a call for let's go to Ashley in Mobile. Ashley.
Hey.
Hey.
Yes, sir. I had a question about the 180 hours.
It's one. Yeah, he was, and he. I'm sorry. So, Representative Hirsch, he was just confusing different things. It's 1,080 instructional hours. He got that mixed up with 180 days.
That number in place.
Pardon?
Who comes up with that number and says that's the amount of hours that children are required?
The state's. I'm sure the state school board. Yeah.
Okay. See, that's what I just wondered about that because. You know, adding an extra 30 minutes onto each day just seems like, geez, you know, our kids can't go to school for 30 more. I mean, even though it's just 30 minutes a day, but, you know, they're already there 8 hours a day, basically. And, you know, you tack on that and then you hear parents talk about homeschool. And if your child's homeschooled, you know, they're done with their homeschool lesson within a matter of 3 to 4 hours. They're done because, you know, there's no lunch, there's no PE time, there's no, you know, homeroom time, so all these different factors, but that's why a lot of parents are going to homeschool is for that reason. So I just wondered, you know, where do these hours come in and who comes up with them and says they're a requirement this many hours, and, you know, maybe that number can change.
It might, actually. I don't know. Here's a quote from the AL.com story from Tricia Crane. Said, the last time schools were restricted by law was for the two-year period of 2012-2013 and 2013-2014. Under the Flexible School Calendar Act of 2012, Alabama schools couldn't start school before the middle of August and had to end before the Friday before Memorial Day. That's when requirements went from a rigid 180 days to requiring 1,080 instructional hours. So that change was... 2012, they made that.
Yeah. See, and I mean, I can't help but think, you know, we go back to also, too, like the baby boomers, you know, that generation, and that was, you know, the best generation we've had. Well, what curriculum were they on? You know, how many hours were they required? You know, because apparently, you know, something's not, you know, seeming right, you know, that, you know, our kids aren't, you know, like you said, 40% of them are going to college and 60% of them are going out and, you know, working. But I don't know. I just think that the extra 30 minutes would be a long time to tack back onto their already long day.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. And I appreciate your call, Ashley. It might be, although part of me says that's one of the ideas that I actually am not bothered by. But I will say this, their school follows them. I can say this as a parent of a 14-year-old and an 8-year-old. The school day we had plenty of homework where I went to high school, or where I went to school and high school. But it just seems like the volume or the in-depth nature of some of the things they're doing, and that it's even more and younger, that the school day, you know, we have a big portion of our evenings as a family that are homework time at our house. And like I tell you, it's just being selfish. I'd like to back off that. I want to do some other stuff with the kids. All right, listen, I mentioned my buddy Jeff Poor with, of course, Yellowhammer News and Breitbart and Lanyap and the host of the Jeff Poor Show on WVNN, and a man who's been busy on Twitter talking about this all morning long joins us now. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you here. So, let's see. Starting school no earlier than Labor Day and ending before Memorial Day. You like that?
You want to keep the traditional summer intact, right?
That's the idea here, right? Is go ahead and make it like it used to be. And I mean, you heard Red Representative Hurst had talked about maybe extending the day by 30 minutes or something like that to try to make up those hours.
Yeah, and here's the idea. Like, I think summertime those are some formative years as a child. You do not need government schooling. And let's face it, we're talking about public schooling here, because 90% of, I think, school children in Alabama go to some kind of public school. Private school kids, different. But there, I think that the idea is you want to take less government out of the day-to-day life of our children. A lot of people say, well, you know, yeah, but we have these low test scores or whatever, but we've always been kind of languishing in education, right? So the idea, I think, when they extended it, this was going to give the teachers or the administrators an opportunity to improve upon these results. I haven't seen any improvement. So I just think that I'm a big believer in the summertime and having that to go do whatever it is. I know Hurst is big on the like tourist industry, but I think there's other things you do that's not just tied to getting a summer job, but you know, there are other activities like family vacations and whatnot. They're also tied to that.
Okay, so let me flip it around for a second and say, if you look at what families might need, you know, more public trust paid for, you know, children being taken care of during the day. More months they go to school, the less they have to pay for, you know, people to keep the kids. I'm talking about younger kids, to keep the kids. And then if you have these two-week windows, like the schools that go year-round do, then you plan the family vacation in that two-week window. I mean, most Americans aren't going to be able to take over more than a week's vacation anyway.
Why is it the government's job to babysit our children? I mean, I have a problem right now. I mean, whenever I hear that, it's like, well, you know, some people may need some help on the child care front. Why is that the taxpayer's duty to do that? And that's where it kind of gets me, is like, oh, year-round school, somebody's going to keep an eye on the kids. But, you know, that's the whole, like, cultural thing. It's not so much political as it is cultural, because I would say we have too much government in our children's lives. And as, like, conservatives, you're skeptical of government. And that's the public school, right? I think it's up to the parents to take care of these kids and figure this stuff out. I think that we're depriving children of the family life by just overloading them with more school.
Here's what I want. I think I probably speak for a lot of parents. I want whatever the formula is that gives them the best education. And that education can be inside and outside the classroom. I agree with you. But we want the kids that are educated, and whether it be in reading, writing, and arithmetic, or, you know, value of work, or all the different things, the components to making an adult, right? Whatever formula makes that work, I'm for it. And I know there's a bunch of debates out there which formula works best.
You have children, and you can speak on this better than I can. And would you, do you want your kids in the public schools here in Alabama, you know, any longer than they should be? And to me, you know, that's a question you can answer personally, but I feel like at some point they're not really doing a good job, and you can look at the progress they made and it's very lackluster. So you want the best schooling for your children possible. I don't know that it's in the hallways or public schools.
But, I mean, there's some component that is going to happen there, right? I mean, there's certain lessons you learn as a family and those kind of things, and education you get, and I take the kids on trips and we go see things and we learn about the things we're seeing. But that's not the same as, you know, going in and learning, you know, a chapter of, you know, whatever in history and then taking the test on it to grade your knowledge.
Well, fine, but aren't there opportunities for you to send your kids to some kind of summer program or something along those lines?
And we take advantage.
Where you can learn, yeah, that you could take advantage of. And I would go as far as to say some of those are probably government funded and would come to very low cost to individuals. Make it optional. Don't make it mandatory. I am not big on like these mandatory structured ideas about education, because it's like a one-size-fits-all approach. What if you have a really bad teacher? You want your kid in there for another 2 weeks, a year with this bad teacher?
But, I mean, it sounds like...
I'm skeptical of that whole, of this putting government and mandating, you know, the parameters of our children's education. I know that it, to some degree they have to, and there's a lot of reasons, good reasons to do so, but I am a big believer in kind of narrowing that window as much as possible.
Yeah, but the part of this you keep going back to is this idea that the school, you don't want the child in the school very long because it being a negative. It shouldn't, if you believe that, shouldn't the motivation there be, let's change that, let's make that school better?
How long have we been trying that, though?
Right.
I mean, ever since you and I were children, they've been talking about fixing it and making it better. I don't know how long. My patience is kind of wearing thin with this. Like, well, we can do this and this and this. It just never seems to improve. So show some improvement and come talk to us about keeping your kids longer. But right now, you're just spinning your wheels.
You know, I looked at the other states listed in that story, and I always think it's interesting because I love the idea of states having autonomy for a lot of reasons, for liberty, but number two, to be able to piggyback or turn the other way from, you know, ideas. Let the states be the laboratories. If somebody's doing something that really works, then cool. If they're not, then don't do that. And it says Virginia, Minnesota, and Michigan restrict school start dates no earlier than Labor Day. I would like to see the stats on education in those states, and if they're getting more success than we are by, you know, with a longer duration of days in their school year, then let's figure out what they're doing differently in those schools.
Well, I mean they have to be better because they're like 47, 48, 49th, or 50th.
Right. Yes. Those three states outrank us. Yes, they do.
But I think there's a cost argument. My problem with it is it just seems like it's very convenient to figure out how to, you know, put these schools, keep these schools running year round or whatever. It seems to be like we're on a slippery slope there, but there just seems to be like an interest in making it a year round enterprise. And I think that's, it's good to be heading in that other direction. Look, we did school from Labor Day to Memorial Day for a long, long time. And it's only been about the last 20 years where they tinkered with the idea of saying, well, maybe we move time around and that will make things better. I mean, I don't know that we haven't seen any improvement relative to the rest of the country. Maybe that's improving, you know, just based on test scores or whatever, you know. But I still think that there is a value in the summertime away from the public school and the mandate, and you need not penalize the rest of society because you see more schooling is the answer to improving maybe some of these lagging schools. I mean, there's a right combination there. This current combination isn't it. And I just think that it occurs to me that it looks like the answer is let's do more government involvement. And I'm, as a conservative, always skeptical of that.
I wonder if we just would leave it up to individual school systems too, because like, for example, down here, Mobile County has the, you know, added desire to have days off for Mardi Gras, right? So that wouldn't be an issue in Elmore County. You know, that's not an issue in Jefferson County. So, I mean, there's there's some things that maybe this, maybe Mobile County school systems do go back a few days earlier than others, but then again, they get a break in, you know, in February or March.
Fine. Yeah, as long as they meet the required 1,080 hours or whatever it is of instruction, they do it the way they want. Don't need to give Mardi Gras off to people up here in Madison County, right?
Right.
So, what you know, I we have school boards, we elect school boards for that reason. But just as a general principle, shrinking it and going back to something more traditional, I think is it just seems to work better. And all I say that is I'm skeptical of public schools and government, first of all. The second part is protect the summer. The summer should be there for whatever it may be it summer camp, family vacation. If you want to do an internship as a high school student, you should not be penalized because the way of the future is more, you know, instructional time in schools.
All right. Before we finish up here, Jeff, I want to ask you to just switch subjects and pivot. Since you and I have talked last, any more traction being gained by areas up in the Tennessee River, up where you are, about the tolling issue? Because we got a meeting coming up here Thursday where Jim Ziegler is going to hold this meeting on the Causeway. And then, of course, October 7th is that tolling authority meeting in Montgomery. Are you hearing anything more up there? Are people asleep to this? Or are they paying attention?
I really paid attention to, Ziegler's running ads up here and warning about a possible toll for 565. Now, it was talked about many years ago about extending, you know, 565 as a spur off of Interstate 65, because 565 doesn't go through Huntsville. It goes to the west of it, so they built an interstate spur into Huntsville. And he's talked about, I think it told that, but I think the toll proposal was going the other way toward Decatur and beyond toward the shoals, and they flirted with the idea of building a bridge and making a toll bridge. But still, it's a scary thing. Doing the same in Birmingham with 280. So is it getting traction? I think it's getting traction just because people think, well, it could happen here, but do they think it's as serious as you guys do? No, not at all.
All right. We'll talk more about this for sure on Wednesday when you join us on Mobile Mornings.
Absolutely. Glad to be on.
All right. Always a pleasure. My buddy Jeff Poor, of course, he is on Twitter right now talking about Jeff_Poor. You go there discussing the length of the summertime versus the school year and that and about 1,000 other things. Of course, check out his radio show, WVNN, in Huntsville, and read his work in Lanyap, Breitbart, and Yellowhammer News. And we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I wish they would just release that movie, The Hunt. It's a movie. I realize it'd probably be bad for business for Democrat votes, right? In 2020. By the way, too, they're acting like that story. If you have, Google it if you haven't seen all the goings on about it, because that's all that'll be out right now until it comes out. By the way, they're not going to have produced that whole movie and spent all that money and not release it, okay? It will come out some way. It'll come out some way. But everybody's acting like this is this new idea. Do you remember The Most Dangerous Game, that short story? I read it. I know I read it in maybe middle school or Maybe it was high school. The Most Dangerous Game. And I'm looking here, Googling it. They made it into a movie in 1964. Oh, the story is from like 1924. I didn't realize it was that old. But this idea that this movie, The Hunt, like there's a story never told. This is like a ripoff of a short story from 1924. So if they put the movie out, so be it. All right. Hey, coming back next hour, we'll get some perspective from upstate when it comes to the idea of the toll. Pepper Breyers from API is going to join us. We'll talk with him about it. Also, yeah, so you had the meeting today. You had a town hall meeting down in the bayou. And I want to say this. Looking at it, I don't know what to say. I mean, town hall meetings, and I've talked to many different politicians about this and said, why don't y'all hold town hall meetings when people aren't working? Okay? And I've had... I've had those people say we have, and they're no better attended than the ones we have during the day. I mean, I recognize some faces there down at Grand Bay Community Center in that meeting. I watched a Facebook video from it. But there were like, what, 20 of y'all? I mean, really, I'm on your side. I'm anti-toll, but I got to point out fact where like 20 people were there. Maybe it's more. Maybe that's all the camera showed. Maybe it's 30 people. 40. It was not exactly a packed house. So, you know, people were questioning Congressman Byrne and wanting him to take a pledge of doing these things against the toll, which he's already come out against the toll. But, you know, when it's something that drives phones and text and emails around here at the level it does, and then I see a Facebook Live video where there's just a few people at a town hall about it. I don't know. I don't know where the disconnect is. Is it the fact that it's during the workday? For me, it would be that reason. But then I hear the politicians say, we hold these events in the evenings and there's no more people there. So I don't know. All right, take a quick call. Tell you what, we're going to have to come to you when we come back from the top of the hour news, because it's unfair. We're right up against the hard break. So we'll take that. We'll get the news and we'll get Dr. Bill's forecast. And we'll come back 93? In 93 at our studios now. Feels like temp. 111. Jeez. 111. Man, that first little dry front of late August or early September cannot get here fast enough. But it's like this every year. We just endure August. Just endure it.